Okay, the aim of our discussion tonight is to discover from the text that we're going to look at in 2 Timothy chapter 1 how we as believers can keep our priority on God. Our priority is that thing that we ought to be about. And our priority ought to be God every single day of our lives if we are loving the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. How many of you would agree with me that in order to do that, we'd have to be focused upon that? Amen? But then the second part of this is to, God has created you and I for a purpose. He has shaped us and uniquely created each one of us with many different gifts and talents in order that we can accomplish the kingdom work that God has given us to do here upon this earth. Listen, how many of you would agree with me that the days are growing darker? Time is running short. We don't know how long till the rapture, but we know it's coming soon. And so we need to be about the Father's business. And so I want to share with you something that Adam Hochschild said, and I quote, "Work is hard. Distractions are plentiful. Time is short." There are many things that could happen in a day. None of us knows what tomorrow may hold. None of us knows what the rest of this evening may hold in each one of our lives. But there are things that can happen in every single day that could distract the best of athletes. Family situations. Death of a loved one. Sudden sickness. World events. Personal injuries. Even our successes can get in the way sometimes. How many of you know this? You're never closer to your greatest failure than you are when you are at the height of your greatest success. Pride just tends to get in the way, doesn't it? And so there are all kinds of distractions in this Christian life in which you and I live. But then there's something else. This old body we carry around, it gets tired from time to time. We face difficulties. Some of them are the results of our own making. Some of them are things that come upon us. Life is hard. Someone once said, and I'm beginning to believe them, getting old isn't for sissies. You've got to be tough to get old. In life, we experience some amazing highs. We also experience some amazing lows. We experience some tremendous joys. We also experience great disappointments. We experience great blessing. We're going to experience in this life great pain. That's just life. And it's during these times of discouragement and pain that we oftentimes begin to wonder if it's worth it all. Is it worth the struggle? You know, people marvel at athletes who are able to perform when distractions are abounding in their personal lives. Some refer to the ability to perform under pressure as putting your game face on, as if there's a switch that one could turn on which would allow them to perform under pressure. Well, when we come into this chapter here in 2 Timothy tonight, in just a moment, we're going to discover that Timothy appears to be going through one of those tough times in life. One of those, you know what they're like. They're difficult and they're hard. You begin to question things. You begin to question your walk with God. You begin to question your service at church. You begin to question all kinds of things. Is it worth it all? And as a matter of fact, Paul writes him a letter here, giving some strong advice that'll help us to discover tonight some principles that we can apply when these times come upon us. Now, I don't know where you're at tonight. Maybe you're in the midst of one of those valley lows. Maybe you're high on a mountaintop tonight. Maybe you're struggling to get back on top. Someone once said, we're either going through a trial, or we're about to enter a trial, or we're coming out of a trial. That's life. be finding in your Bibles tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And rise, if you will, as we honor God with the reading of His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to begin in verse 3. And Paul writes, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Brother Mike, would you take us to the Lord in prayer? May be seated. Now the advice that Paul gives Timothy here has stood the test of time, which means it's as true for us right now in the day in which we're living as it was for Timothy in the day in which he was living. I want to direct your attention to a verse just as a reminder. How many of you have looked at life, or you've gone through something and you've begun to fear? Raise your hand if you've ever begun to fear. What a great verse to call to mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, why is that? Because God is in control. He's in control of you. He's in control of me. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, Marty likes to say about things, it's going to be all right. And it certainly is, because God is in control. Well, what are the principles? What are the things that have stood the test of time? Well, Paul writes here, first of all, remember your spiritual heritage. In many professional stadiums, and you know I'm a sports nut, and I like to watch sports, and I've been to many of the stadiums in these United States. Whenever you go to a stadium and you look around a stadium, you will find up on the stadium marquee somewhere all of the retired numbers, championship banners, and statues of significant players or coaches who all serve as markers to the past. These same items can motivate current players to reach or exceed the accomplishment reached by those in the past. Matter of fact, we even have that, and we see that in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Fame of Faith, if you will. And then when we begin in Hebrews chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, we're encouraged to lay aside all those things that so easily beset us and run with patience the race that has been set before us. And it's a reminder to all of those saints in Hebrews chapter 11 who did just that. They pressed on toward the mark of their high calling in Christ Jesus. And so we find that even in Scripture, not just in the world, but in the passage of Scripture we just read, Paul pointed to some significant markers in Timothy's life as motivators. And so what are some of them? Well, he points first of all to the people who had influenced Timothy. You see it there in verse 5. His mother, his grandmother. They'd been godly examples and had no doubt invested a lot of time in Timothy. And they had passed their faith down to him. They had taught him. I can just picture him dawdling on the knee of his grandmama as she's teaching him some little children's songs. Maybe something like, Jesus loves the little children of the world. I can hear her whispering prayers in his ear. I can see his mama pulling him close to her breast as she tells him how much God loves him and what a joy it was to carry him and how God has a plan for his life. But then Timothy's also reminded of Paul's own influence in his life. What character, quality, and potential had Paul recognized in Timothy? Well, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, unfeigned wasn't a false faith, it was a genuine faith. When I call to mind remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, you know who you are. You know what you have. Therefore, do not be afraid. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Remember that, son. But Paul also recognized that Timothy had the ability to be a leader, and Paul had worked to prepare him in his early days. Now, I'd like you to just take a moment tonight and think about your own life. Think about some of the qualities that people recognized in you. Think about how they encouraged you to develop those gifts. And without Paul's permission, I'm going to use him as an example as well as myself. Paul grew up and his daddy was a preacher. I can imagine the lessons that young Paul learned in life. What about you? You know, my father recognized in me that I had the ability to lead, be a leader. And he told me so, and he would pray over me every night, as far back as I can remember. You've heard this before. But when Daddy would pray, he would ask God to develop the leader gift in me. But then he would do something else. He would ask God, God, you help me to be an encouragement to my son and to be a positive influence in his life always. And God blessed his prayers. God heard his prayers. God answered his prayers. And though I had no idea what he was talking about when he would pray when I was a young child, today I do. Who are some of those who have helped you understand how to live the Christian life? Some of you have told me great testimonies about some of the Sunday school teachers you have had here in this church and their impact and their influence in your life. Who has influenced you? Who has impacted you? And how can remembering their lessons and their encouragement, their prayers, help you to continue to live the Christian life today? You see, Paul wanted Timothy to remember the significant experiences in his past. But then there's something else here. Paul wanted Timothy to remember, and that something else was some of his own significant experiences from his past. And so Paul points to the laying on of hands.
Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, Paul had laid hands on Timothy. We see that happen sometimes in churches, don't we? When a deacon is going to be ordained, or a pastor is going to be ordained, or somebody is going to be set aside for some specific task of ministry. And so Paul is pointing here to Timothy's ordination service. And during that service, Timothy would have been charged to be a faithful servant of God. As a pastor or as a deacon, you don't serve yourself. You serve the Lord your God. You are a caretaker of His sheep. And therefore, call to remembrance the fact that you have had hands laid upon you for a specific task, a specific purpose. God has ordained you to accomplish something for His kingdom. And you're to be faithful, whatever your task is. Be faithful. Put those spiritual gifts to work. God gave them to you. Well, I think about that. If God gave them to you, then one day, just like the parable of the talents, God is going to require an account from you. What did you do with the gift that I gave you? What did you do with the ministry ability that I gave you? Stop and think about that. Mike works at the power plant. He don't work for the power plant. He works for the Lord his God. Tammy plays the piano. She doesn't play it for the church. She plays the piano for God. I preach. I don't preach for the church. I preach for the Lord my God. Joyce is the administrative assistant. She doesn't serve the church. She serves the Lord her God. And we could go all around the room tonight. But no matter what it is that you do, you are to serve the Lord your God. That's the life He's called a Christian to. And we're to do it with joy. And we're to do it to the best of our ability. We're to have an unfeigned faith that just gives and gives and gives to God. And I have no doubt that in each one of your lives there are mile markers. There are experiences that serve as spiritual milestones. And we can't recreate those experiences, but we can use them to motivate us when we just don't feel like doing it. And we can remember that God is at work in our lives. What are some of your own spiritual milestones? And I would challenge you, I would encourage you in your prayer time this week, write some of them down. Write down the people who influenced you. Write down the prayers that you know they prayed for you. Write down some of your own experiences. And you say, why should I do that? Well, we all know the song, Count Your Blessings, and name them one by one, and see what great things God hath done. Remember, and then ask yourself the question, how can what has happened to me in my past help me right now today? Thinking about this, these things bring out a second principle that we're going to need to apply if we're going to keep our eye on the priority that we have been called by God for a purpose. We have been called by God to accomplish His kingdom work in this world. God didn't save us just so we could say, well, Got that done. Me, my wife, our two kids, us four and no more. No, that's not why God saved us. God saved us that we might reach a lost world for Jesus Christ. That we might accomplish His kingdom work here on earth. Isn't that what we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy be done. Well, I want you to look with me here again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. If you will look down at verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Friends, very simply, we need to always remember, we need to get in the game. Paul's writing this letter from prison. And he would eventually, as we all know, be executed for his faith in the gospel. Soon and very soon, he's going to walk down that maritime prison floor. He's going to walk into the execution room and his head is going to be put on a block and a soldier is going to take out a sword and Paul is going to be beheaded and it's going to be in an instant and the sword is going to come down. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not ashamed. Stand tall, stand strong, stand on the rock that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, friend, get in the game. Timothy knows what's ahead of Paul. Timothy knows that James was beheaded. Timothy knows that the disciples have been put in prison. Timothy knows his beloved spiritual father, Paul, is soon going to leave this world. Hey, when you know someone's about to die, it's easy to get discouraged. Amen? It's easy to get down. It's easy to become, hey, man, I don't know if I want to go through this. I don't know if I want to endure that. I don't know if I want to get in on that kind of suffering. And Paul tells him, get in on the suffering and don't get left sitting on the bench. Now, no athlete who trains likes to sit on the bench. They've trained to compete. They've trained to get in the game so they can help their team win. You know, there's a little glory saying that you wore a uniform but you never played. And yet, that's exactly the case far too often today in Christendom. See, people are more worried about the risk. They're more worried about what could happen instead of getting their focus upon their Lord God and remembering that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're too worried if we stand up and say something, what might happen to me? What might happen to my home? What might happen to this? What might happen? We worry about the things that are temporary instead of reaching souls for eternity. Too many times we let our fears rob us of the joys that God has before us. We're allowing things, fears, to be the top priorities of our lives instead of God. Therefore, we don't take the risk. of following Him completely. See, that's where Timothy's at. As we come to 2 Timothy 1. He's in that questioning mode. He's not certain he wants to continue on. He's not certain he wants to take the risk. Well, what are some of the potential risks if Timothy is to proceed? He could find himself in prison. He could find himself walking down to the chopping block, so to speak. He could be persecuted. He could be killed. But I'll tell you, to die is gain. That's what Paul said. For me to live, for me to die, is all gain in Jesus Christ. For God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what, church? Sound mind. We need to pause and think about this. What fears do you need to overcome? What are you afraid of? Is it change? What are you afraid of? What actions do you need to take to get off the bench in order to follow God completely? Do you realize that a man can take nothing from you? Because everything you have is only temporary anyway. Even if a man takes your life, you do not die. For you are home in heaven with the Savior forever and ever and ever. Thus the psalmist could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no what? Evil. For thou art with me. Oh, God is always with His people. There's a third principle. It's found in chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Paul writes, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Paul is simply saying, stay focused on God's word. In chapter 1 of this same book, in verses 15 and 16, Paul had warned Timothy about some individuals who had been unfaithful. And then he commended another who had been faithful. And we've already talked about Onesiphorus in one of our earlier messages. And some theologians believe that at this point, Timothy may have been feeling the stress and the loneliness of ministry. And so Paul gives him some encouragement. He told him, Timothy, train others. Train others. Train others. To help you get the work done. That's what church is all about. God is giving gifts. He's giving abilities. I will not always be the pastor of Green Valley Baptist Church as much as I enjoy it. Our deacons who are present tonight will not always be the deacons at Green Valley Baptist Church as much as they may enjoy it. What is their task then, friends? It is to train others. Tammy will not always be the piano player at Green Valley Baptist Church. What's the task? Train others. How do you train others? You bring them into the kingdom and you teach them sound doctrine. You teach them how to follow the Lord their God. Besides that, when you got others around, it ain't lonely in ministry, is it? It's only ministry lonely when others aren't around. Train others. This is what Paul had done with Timothy. So the advice that Paul is giving to Timothy is really God's advice to us today for the church. And so God reminds us here tonight of three lines of work that he reminds. Paul's using this to remind Timothy of what is required for successful ministry. First, you've got to be willing to be a soldier. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to with the cross of going on before. You're in a war, friend. It's not easy to be a Christian, is it? You have to have the devotion of a soldier. A single-minded purpose. There is a battle raging. You have an enemy that prowls around seeking to devour you. And if he can't devour you, he's coming after your family. And if he can't get to your family, he's coming after something else. How many churches do you know in your time who have been devoured by the enemy? How many Christian people do you know who were once a part of the church and now are not a part of the church simply because they were devoured by the enemy? You have to remain focused on the task that God has given unto us. Go ye into all the world, teach, baptize, reach the nations of the world. But you know, when we begin to worry about other things, we're never going to succeed in battle. No soldier can have a divided loyalty. If you have a divided loyalty as a soldier, you will not succeed. And if we have a divided loyalty as a church, we will not succeed, because if we do not listen to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not fulfill the mission that he has given us. We will not be honoring him when and if we should pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," not if we're seeking to have our own will be done because we're fearful of what could or might happen. Can't have divided loyalty. Just can't have it. Because if you do, you will not succeed. How many churches do you know in your lifetime that were once mighty but divided right down the middle and now are just scrambling to keep the doors open? Divided loyalty. So he says, be a soldier. Not easy to be a soldier. It's not easy to take orders sometimes. It's not easy to do God's will, is it? Sometimes God asks us to do something we just plain don't want to do. Well, buck up, private. The Lord God's in charge. Get on with the Lord's business. Then he goes on and he points to an athlete. Lord knows in our day, in our time, we've seen enough athletes who haven't played by the rules come tumbling down. This is God's word. This is God's rule book. You and I are to operate in our lives as a child of God by what God says in his word. Do we then have the right to say to the one who formed us and the one who created us, "You out your mind, I ain't doing that"? You know the answer to that. Shall the clay say to the potter, why did you make me so? We also have plenty of stories in the Bible of those who tried that thing and the things that they suffered as a result. Easy. Play by the rules. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what, church? Verse 7, we oftentimes leave that one out. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I hope you're not an undisciplined person. Because one thing that life has taught me is that if you're an undisciplined person, you're never going to win in life. And you're never going to succeed, truly succeed with Jesus Christ. Because you lack the discipline and you lack the drive that it takes to honor the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind, and love Him with all of your strength. And it's not easy to do. But the more of this that you get into you, the easier it becomes to follow the Lord our God. There's one word. His word, amen? And God is, you're probably tired of hearing this verse. I quote it so often, but it's just that important. God has called us to be doers of His word. Not a hearer only, because a hearer only deceives them their own selves. Don't deceive yourself. It requires self-discipline on your part. And that's the hardest discipline of all, is self-discipline. It's hard to admit when you failed, isn't it? It's hard to admit when you're coming up short. Hard to admit when you gave less than your best. Thank God He forgives us. Thank God He has mercy upon us. Then Paul says, be like the farmer. Because the farmer is the first one to enjoy the results of his hard work. The kind of work Paul is talking about here is work, friend, until you wear out. Not rust out. Unfortunately today, many Christians are rusting out instead of wearing out. Can you answer me this? Where is the retirement verse in this Bible? Where does it say that you or I as a Christian can say, let somebody else do it? Why are so many people today rusting out instead of wearing out? I'll tell you why. Because they fail to remember their spiritual heritage. They fail to get in the game. And they fail to keep their eyes and their hearts and their minds focused on God and His work and your role in it. Just like Timothy, we're all going to face distractions and challenges. We have enemy. There's no easy day in the Christian life. There are joyful days. There are blessed days. But there are no easy days, because every day requires us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Him. And it's not easy to deny yourself. So there are no easy days in the Christian life. Our number one priority is to serve Him. We have to be about the Master's business. Green Valley Baptist Church has to be about the Master's business. We don't know when that trump's going to sound and that shout's going to come from heaven. And God's going to call His church out of this world. All we know is that day is coming. It's coming soon. May we be found faithful. May you be found faithful. Keep God your priority. Remember your heritage. Get in the game. Stay focused. What a heritage this church has. I wasn't here for it all. But oh, what a heritage this church has. I ask you all something tonight as we close. When you were over there in that old building, did any of you ever picture that God would bless you so because your eyes were on Him, you were in the game, that you'd have a place to reach more souls for the kingdom like this one? I'd venture to say, if you were there at the beginning in your wildest dreams, you probably never could have envisioned a place such as this. Do you ever think that this church would be reaching souls for the kingdom, doing live stream services or television services or even Facebook services? What a blessing. God brought us a long way. Amen? We've got a ways to go because we're still here. The job's not over. One day, it's going to be over. One day, He's going to look at Green Valley Baptist Church, and let's pray. He says, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Oh, friend, what a day that's going to be when at last we're home and our eyes are on the One who loved us so. Thank God for Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your word to us tonight. Oh, Lord, in these days and in these times when it's so easy to fear, help us to remember, Lord, that You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As long as we keep our eyes and our hearts centered on Your word. Lord, tonight is just before we sing, the eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and no one's looking around. But I just wonder tonight, Lord, if this message is spoken to hearts, and You need me to be praying for You. Would You just, in this moment before we sing, if God has spoken to you tonight, would You just slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me." Yes, yes, yes. Father, we thank You for Your word and the love that we have in Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen and amen.